Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your word, and we thank you for your grace and mercy and peace given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray today, Lord, that you'll take control now of this part of the service. Lord, we pray for your will to be done, and we are thankful that you are here today and that your grace is abundant and available. And we thank you that sinners can be saved today. We ask you to bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Before Arlene left, she gave me a letter to read to you today, and I've been trying to decide when I should read it. I think now might be a good time to do that. So this is written in her hand, you can see. It says, "My dear sweet church family, where do I begin to try to put into words my thoughts and feelings about everyone, you all, about everything you all mean to me? First of all, I want to say that I love and appreciate each of you very much. The words, the time, the gifts, the food, the support, prayers, and compassion that you have shown to me and Andrew during the hardest time of our lives. A mere thank you is not enough to express how overwhelmed my heart is, but thank you is the only way to say it and mean it from the bottom of my heart. I would ask that you continue to hold us up in prayer, as I know you will. Please pray that I will get clear direction from the Lord about my future. I am trusting the Lord about my future. I am trusting the Lord that in this time he will lead me to where and what I am to do with my life as a widow. I do know this, I am going to continue to serve him until he calls me home, either by way of the rapture or by way of the grave. Our pastor and my husband used to say, if you're going to do something for the Lord, then get to doing it because Jesus is coming back soon. Let me close by saying that your pastor loved each of you very, very much, and he prayed for you every single day that he was alive. He valued each man, woman, boy, girl, and baby in this church. If he could speak to you right now, he would say, never, never stop serving the Lord. He counted it an honor being your pastor, and I counted a blessing to be your pastor's wife. I love y'all so very much, Arlene." And I have done as she has asked. Okay, it's my goal in coming to you folks and being invited to come to try to encourage you in the Lord. I don't see it as my goal to come in and try to push my particular doctrine on you. As you could tell from our Sunday school class, we have quite a few differing opinions in here. My goal is to encourage you to keep focused on Jesus Christ, to believe that God is going to keep your church together and that it is going to go forward. And so that will be my goal. I will say, Brother Fred, I've never had anybody re-preach my message in Sunday school like you did. Amen. That's all I'm going to say about that. I will leave that up to you to decide. I want to preach today on faith, of course, as it says in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. So the thought of the message today is, O Lord, increase my faith. O Lord, increase my faith. And in thinking of that, we'll go to Luke 17. For the introduction to the message, Luke 17. You'll You're a very high-tech church to have this particular type of microphone that I always feel like I'm in a harness when I've got one on. It feels like it's wrapped around my head and pulling me like this. So if I look a little stiff, it's I'm afraid things are going to fly off or something. But we trust that it's working. In Hebrews 17, verse 3, I want you to notice what is happening here in these three verses. It says, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith." You see from this passage, the first in verse 3, the Lord is telling his followers, if your brother trespasses against you, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And evidently, that sounded like something that was possible. But then when the Lord said, if your brother trespasses against you seven times in a day, and he comes and asks you to forgive him seven times, then you're to forgive him. And I think when they heard that, they thought, oh, Lord, increase our faith. Because I think they thought, this sounds like a difficult thing to do. And I think we would probably all agree with that. That sounds like a difficult thing. If your brother keeps doing something and keeps coming back saying, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, you're going to start wondering, why won't you stop doing this? Why do you keep doing that and keep coming back? But he says, if he does it, forgive him. Lord, increase our faith. A young boy watched with amazement as a man announced he was going to walk across a deep gorge on a tightrope while pushing a wheelbarrow. The man asked the boy, "Do you have faith that I can walk on this tightrope across this gorge while pushing this wheelbarrow?" And the young boy said, "Well, yes, I do have faith that you can do that because I've heard people talk about seeing you do it." And then the man said, "Get in the wheelbarrow then. Then get in the wheelbarrow and I'll push you across the gorge on the tightrope in the wheelbarrow." And then the boy said, "Oh, now that's a different story." That's different. You want me to get in the wheelbarrow? That is faith, isn't it? Now faith was not just hearing about what he could do. Faith was actually... a personal faith would be to get in the wheelbarrow and go over to the other side. And we all need to have faith in God. That goes without saying. We need to, as a matter of fact, it pleases God when we have faith in him. It doesn't please God when we doubt him. And so I encourage you to have faith in God, to trust him. And we're going to look today at some passages in the book of Matthew. And I'll ask you to turn to Matthew 6 and verse 30 for the first one. And today we're going to learn in these passages from Matthew how little faith can grow into great faith. And I want to encourage you today, if you feel like your faith is small or your faith is little today, be encouraged because it can grow. And it can grow by refocusing on the Lord and renewing our minds with his word and just doing what the Lord wants us to do. So let's learn today that our faith can grow. Now you all have, as a church, have been going through a deep valley. And I'm sure you're still feeling it. And I'm sure you're going through this grieving process, not just like Arlene is, but as a church, you've lost your pastor suddenly. Without warning, and it hasn't been that long, and I understand that you're going through a process too of that loss, and you're like looking out over that gorge and you don't know what's there on the other side. Some of you have voice to me, you wonder what's going to happen. You're praying for a pastor, but you don't know. I'm sure you won't get a pastor like the one you've had, because he was like everybody, one of a kind. As every person is, one of a kind. And so there's some unknowns there. So we have to have faith in God that He is going to answer prayer, and He is going to help you in these situations. In Matthew 6 and verse 30, this is a familiar passage to you, I'm sure. We learn in this passage that little faith forgets the future care of our Heavenly Father. Little faith forgets the future care of our Heavenly Father. Matthew 6 and verse 30 says, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." Notice He refers to them, O ye of little faith. Why is that in this passage? Because they are worrying. They're having thought for tomorrow. They're wondering, is God going to take care of me? And the promise, of course, is yes, your heavenly Father knows exactly what you need. We're told in this passage to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We've heard this morning how blessed you all are, and we are all blessed to live where we live and get to do what we do. The Lord is going to take care of you. I believe if you put God first and honor Him, He will add all the things that you need. And you as a church are in need of a pastor. You're in need of a pastor to shepherd this flock, to feed this flock from the Word of God. And I believe the man is out there. Do you believe the man is out there somewhere? He's somewhere. Do you believe the Lord knows who He is? So, is the Lord able to get him from where he is to where you are? He certainly is. And so we got to have faith in God that He will cause that to happen. And God can do that in many different ways. Little faith forgets the future care of our Heavenly Father. So, if you're wondering, is God going to take care of me? You may have little faith right now. You may have some little faith if you are forgetting that God is going to give you everything you need. But the good news is little faith can grow. Amen? Little faith can grow into a greater faith. And so let's say as the disciples, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. In this parallel passage to this, you realize in the Gospels, there are many parallel passages that talk about the same story in a different book. And in the book of Luke, there's a parallel passage to Matthew 6. And I think it'd be good if we look at that in Luke. It's just next door, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 12 and verse 28. "If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things." Did you notice the phrase is given here in verse 29? "Neither be ye of doubtful mind." We learn that little faith is a doubting faith. And, of course, if we believe that God is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, He's all the things that the Bible says He is, then we should not doubt Him, should we? We should believe in Him with all of our heart. We should believe that He, yes, is going to do the right thing. He's going to direct the right way. He's going to provide. So I encourage you to believe that. Don't be of a doubtful mind. Okay, the next passage, we go back to Matthew in chapter 8. Before we read this passage, I think it'd be good if we have a moment of prayer. I don't know about you, but I think I need the Lord more than I'm feeling him right now. How about you? Lord, we just want to stop here in the middle of this message and ask you to speak to our hearts, Lord. Lord, I know this is the message that you wanted me to preach, and I'm trying to deliver it the best I know how. I pray, Lord, that it will be received as your word, that we will hear your word, that we will accept it into our hearts. I pray that it will be beneficial to those hearing it. Lord, please have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, in Matthew 8 and verse 23, the Word of God, another familiar passage, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Reading through verse 27. Notice in this passage we learn that little faith is fearful. Little faith is fearful. Have you ever been about to do something and you're afraid? I think we've all been there. Many people, when they first go out trying to visit other people and talk to them about the Lord, have you ever walked up to that door to knock on that door and you have some fear down in there somewhere about the unknown on the other side of that door? One time I did that in Nova Scotia, and the guy opened the door, and he just opened the door about that much, and the dog stuck its head through and grabbed me by the ankle. And my fears had come to life, you know. And when that happened, the man, it wasn't biting me real bad, but he just had his mouth around my ankle. And the man said, Oh, don't mind the dog. He's never bitten anybody. And I said, Well, sir, you're going to have to take that one back today, because at the moment he's chewing on my ankle. You know, you never know what's on the other side of that door, do you? And often if you hear a big dog in there barking, you're afraid. I've been amazed at Roscoe here. He's the most docile dog I've ever seen in my life, to be that big. He doesn't know he's that big, doesn't he? Thank God for that. We don't know. Sometimes we're afraid. We're afraid of the unknown. We're afraid of what's out there. We become afraid. But you know what needs to replace fear is faith. Fear needs to be replaced by faith. We need to admit that being fearful is being sinful, because we're not trusting God. In this story, Jesus is asleep. And they're worried that he doesn't know what's going on. But he does know what's going on. He knows exactly. They were afraid they were about to perish. And he said, Oh, ye of little faith, why are you so fearful? Now, there are some parallel passages to this also. I'll just mention them. The one in Mark says, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? I found that interesting. Little faith must be really akin to no faith. In the parallel passage in Luke 8, it says, Where is your faith? Sometimes our faith is in the wrong thing, isn't it? Sometimes we begin to put our faith in ourselves and begin to trust what we can do, and that's always wrong, because our faith needs to be totally in God. In another parallel passage, that was the one. It seemed that they had little faith for little things, but no faith for larger things. I think that's why he said, You have no faith. You know, have you found it's easy sometimes to trust God for something that we consider small? Oh, yeah, God won't have any trouble with that. Well, if we believe God's as big as he is, and I believe you do, then certainly we can trust Him for the biggest things. Amen? And I encourage you to stay awake. Please stay awake. Amen? Let's all stay awake. I find this second service, everybody's tired out. Amen? Let's stay awake. Please hear God's Word. We find here fearfulness does not please God. Fearful, us being fearful shows that we're not trusting in the Lord. Now, if you find yourself today being fearful, when the thought of what's about to happen in your church comes up and you feel that fear rising up, then we need to say, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, help me to believe You. Lord, I know I can't see You, but Lord, I believe You, and I'm going to believe You to take care of this. And He will, if we have faith in God. Are you controlled by fear or faith? If you are controlled by fear, cry out to God, oh Lord, increase my faith. Now, let's go to Matthew 14. I found it interesting, all these, oh ye of little faith, are mostly in Matthew. Matthew 14 and verse 28. This is probably one of my favorite passages in the New Testament because it's so miraculous. Matthew 14 and verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Now, have any of you ever walked on water? Hey, I have. I have, and you living in Alaska probably have too. It was just frozen, right? It was frozen water. I've walked on a lot of frozen water, and you have too. But Peter at this moment is walking on liquid water. And I really believe this story happened. I really believe this is a historical account in Peter's life, that this really happened, that they saw the Lord out there, and they thought it was a ghost, and they were all beginning to get afraid. And then he says, Peter, if it's You, Lord, bid me come. And the invitation comes. Come, Peter. Come out on the water. Now, here's what I like to try to picture. Picture this actually happening. They're all in the boat. Peter's in the boat. And as he starts to go out of the boat, I can picture one leg going over the side and the foot. we might be that way. Is this really going to work? Put my foot down on that water. And when he did start to put it down, I think it became more solid. But the rest of him's still in the boat. So he's got to get the other leg out. And he's finally going to have to let go. And there comes a moment when he completely lets go of that boat. And both his feet are on the water. And he walks on the water to go to Jesus. Peter has done something that I don't see anybody else ever doing besides Jesus. He's going out to a place that nobody else has ever been. Think about it. No other human has ever been out there where Peter is about to go. Now, let's apply this to you guys. You're in a place where you've never been since this church was started. If I read your statement of constitution and bylaws correctly, this church was founded by Pastor Richard Inslee. I believe in 1997. It's the dated there. I've got it here. It's dated there in the front of it. So he has been the pastor of this church from the beginning. Am I correct in stating that? Is he the only pastor you've ever had here at this church? to be your pastor, then you're entering into some unknown territory where you've never been. And you're about to walk out there. Now, can you walk out there? In the Lord's power, you can. In the power of the Lord, yes, you can walk out there, just as Peter did. Now, have you ever wondered why no one else in the boat decided to go out and join Peter? They were probably in shock, thinking, Peter is walking on the water. Hey, we know Peter. We know him. How's he doing that? Well, he's doing it through the power of God. We know Peter didn't have the power to do it. He's doing it through the power of Christ. And I'll remind you, Christ said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go. All power. Listen, we can step out in places we've never been before. I'll be honest with you. I felt a little fear and trepidation when I thought about coming here with the situation you've just come through, thinking, I've never been in this situation before. I've never gone into a church where their pastor just passed away suddenly and come in to preach for almost a month. And I'm saying, oh, Lord, please help me know what to preach. Oh, Lord, help me to know how I can encourage these folks, because I don't know how. And I know they need you to touch them. I know they need you. But I believe there's power in God's word to touch our hearts and give us what we need. So I encourage you, don't be afraid to step out there where you've never stepped before. Don't be afraid to let go of that boat. As long as Jesus is saying come, it will be okay. As long as you're headed toward him. Just make sure your focus is toward him, not away from him. I'll be honest with you, Satan wants to divide you. He wants to. Don't let him. All right, the next passage. Oh, I didn't give you the lesson in that one. The lesson in that one is little faith falters when we lose our focus on Christ. Little faith falters. See, he had some great faith when he stepped out of that boat, didn't he? But all of a sudden, what did he look at? The wind? He began to realize, oh, look where I'm at. He took his focus off Christ and he began to sink. He got wet, but he didn't go completely under, because the Lord reached and got him and brought him back up. And then it says, verse 32, when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. I'm not sure. Did he walk back to the ship? Did the Lord carry him back to the ship? I don't know how it happened, but they both went back to the ship. And he got back in. And what do you think all the people in the ship were saying? Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, we weren't willing to get out of the ship, but we saw it happen. We need more faith, Lord. A human can do the impossible with faith focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. The impossible happened, and we just read about it. Okay, the last one we'll look at here in Matthew is Matthew 16 and verse 6. Matthew 16 and verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the five loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the seven loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Notice here we learn in this passage, little faith forgets former miracles. Now I dare say over the 20 plus years that this church has been here, has God done anything miraculous for you? Has God answered prayers for you? Have you prayed and you saw God give specific answers to prayer? Anybody? Just go, amen. Let me know you're awake, okay? Amen. That, you know, that works everywhere. I found that out. I was in Greenland on a dog sled, and the guy did not speak my language, and I didn't speak his, but when I got ready to go, he turned around and went. And I knew, it's time to go. It's time to go. Amen. You know what? God has answered many prayers. God has done some miracles for us. Don't forget that. He asked them to remember, how many baskets were left over after the feeding of the 5,000? 12. Remember that story? They had 12 baskets left over. And the feeding of the 4,000, they had 7 baskets left over. Now, I'll leave that up to you to figure the significance of those two numbers. But you know what it teaches us? Leftovers are biblical. So ladies, the next time you serve leftovers to your husband and he looks at them like, we're having this again, say, this is biblical, honey. Leftovers. Think about the purpose of leftovers. Think about this. Every time you eat leftovers, what does that mean happen? God blessed you abundantly. God blessed you in a way that you could not eat it all the first time. And there's leftovers, so you can remember, God is blessing me again and again and again sometimes. Sometimes I'll eat something a whole week till it's gone. It gets better every day. Just change it into different forms and stuff, you know. What was he teaching them here? Remember what I have done for you. Don't forget it. And I encourage you, don't forget what God has done for you. As you look forward, always look backward for a little bit and see what God has done. Always look backward, and he has been so faithful, he's not going to fail you now. He's the same God, right? He hasn't changed. I think we all agree on that. He has not changed. He will not change. He's the same forever. He is the same God. We can trust him. There's a verse I've been meditating on a lot, and it's found in Jeremiah 32:17, and we'll try to learn it now. I like the way Jeremiah puts it. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. And there is nothing too hard for thee. Do you guys know that verse? Let's say it together. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. I challenge you to meditate on that verse the rest of the day. And think about how nothing is too hard for God. Think about how he can help you. And if you have little faith, if doubt rises up in some area of your life and your little faith needs to grow, you can pray, Lord, increase my faith. The disciples did. They when they were faced with a challenging thing to do, that was their request. Lord, increase our faith. So that we can do that. Lord, we want to please you. Lord, we want to do the right thing. Help us to do it. And I encourage you to focus on Christ. I've always told our church, for those of you that don't know, I've pastored churches a long time, missionary churches that we've started. We were for 26 years in Canada pastoring churches, so I've been here before. I've looked at congregations when we were facing something huge, and we didn't know what to do, and saying, you know, God will help us. He's not going to let us down. He will provide. You're not in this alone. There's other churches going through the same thing you're going through. I know of one in the States. Same thing. Pastor passed away suddenly. The congregation is looking for another pastor. We had a couple of men in Canada pass away with cancer, and their cancers lasted years. So the churches knew it was going to happen, but they just passed away last year. And it happened, and the reality hit. It happened. And they're looking for a new pastor. So you're not alone in this, and you're definitely not alone that God is going to answer your prayers. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. He will help you. Now, I had planned to do this before I got up real early this morning. I've been getting up early here anyway because of the time zone difference in my body. But I got up at 5. I was planning on getting up at 6, but I got up at 5. And I've been praying and thinking, what should I do? It's been my tradition to give an invitation. I believe there are some invitations in the Bible. I believe Matthew 11:28-30 is an invitation given by Christ. And he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Christ said to that crowd, come unto me. I encourage you, if you need to be saved today, come to Christ. And I do agree, believe in the Lord with all your heart. Believe unto salvation. It's not in praying a prayer. It's not in saying something. It's in believing. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. And it says in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I encourage you, as a whosoever, if you need to call on the Lord, to call on him.